This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of The Garden Show, Franklin Proctor, saying good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what a nice looking day.
I know, look at that blue sky.
And we're broadcasting, as you know, or maybe don't know.
Live and well.
And direct. from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. Temps around the 1 or 2 mark, I think. What you looking around? Checking out things in the studio here?
I was just checking the lighting.
Oh, yeah?
And it doesn't matter. It was just last week when I came in, it was so dark. Remember all the lights were
going
the wrong way? Yeah. So I was just going, But something's they've added some in,
well,
so it's good.
Illumination has been found.
I just can't read in the dark. It helps that it's a sunny day. We're getting a little light from outside, too.
Okay. Sebastian giving us a query, looking through the glass there. He's our tech op, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's the guy that you're going to call. And let me get the phone numbers to the folks right now, okay? Yeah, that's my job. Okay, in Toronto, if you want to get a hold of Charlie Dobbin, give a call to this number, 416-360-0740. That's 416-360-0740. Or anywhere else, it's in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. All righty.
Are you sure those are the right numbers?
Yes, I am.
Remember that Saturday when you gave out the wrong number?
Some poor lady was getting tons of phone calls. Yeah, awful. So anyway, I've smartened up since then.
Yes, you are.
It's been a long learning curve. if you're a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know that I brought my little bell along, and this is what you'll hear when you get
garden wings.
Are welcome to the show as a first-time caller. And please
call early.
Yeah, call often. One question per call.
Right. So what that means is call up, ask a question, and then,
And they want to call again? Yeah.
Yeah, and there's other people on the line, they can get on the show, and otherwise just call right back.
I can tell you right
control now. Control the whole show if you want. Yeah. Just get going with multi-phones.
We've got multi-lines open right at this very moment.
Are you sure?
I am, yeah.
You're positive, okay.
I'm looking at the lines.
Oh, yeah. How do you know that? Where can you see
here.
It? Right oh,
right
there.
Here.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I'm looking on the computer.
Okay.
I have control of the computer.
All right.
I have a few announcements.
Okay.
While people are thinking of good questions. And you said, don't forget, we got to talk about Christmas trees and all that important stuff. I haven't even managed to buy a Christmas tree yet. But if you are interested in learning more about maturing a landscape, growing gracefully, maturing a landscape, on Sunday, December the 11th, the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society will be featuring Sean James of Fern Ridge Landscaping. You probably don't remember Sean, but he was here on the show. We took him to breakfast, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Very knowledgeable gentleman, knows everything about everything. He's like a nature boy. I think he was like born in nature, raised in nature, one of those, raised by wolves probably. But not that he's uncivilized, but he knows an awful lot. He's really well-rounded when it comes to plants and animals and ecosystems. And he runs a company called Fern Ridge Landscaping out of Milton. So he's presenting Growing Gracefully, Maturing a Landscape at the Toronto Botanical Gardens in the Floral Hall between 1 and 4 p.m. Sunday, December the 11th. Uh-huh. So definitely would recommend going to that. And at the Royal Botanical Gardens, it's Member Appreciation Days. Started on Thursday, runs through until tomorrow, 10 o'clock till 8 every day. Members are getting a 20% off at the shops. Friends and Family Day is Friends and Family Day. That's already over. But members, it's special. Friends and Family was yesterday and the day before. But either way, nice weather to get out into the gardens. I mean,
exactly.
Obviously, a beautiful blue sky. It's not even that cold today. And it's just slightly above zero, and it's going to be, 5 degrees. So it's a pretty nice day.
Right.
And I'm going to be outside
after
the show. After you buy me breakfast, Or I guess I buy you breakfast.
Yeah, you're panda.
Yes, I'm going out to a client's place to plant bulbs.
Oh.
So I've got, nice. You know, 200 bulbs in the back of my car and a shovels and measuring tapes and chicken wire, because, of course, this is urban Toronto. Oh, you don't just plant tulips and hope it all works out. You've got to, you know, barricade them in to protect them from all those pesky squirrels. Yeah. Exactly.
All righty. Yeah. Maybe we'll mention this a little bit later on. You received a lovely book. In the mail that we can talk about.
I want to talk a little more about the Toronto Gardener's Journal and Source Book, but I will hold off on that while we get to some of our callers.
All right, and we do indeed have callers online. In fact, pretty full line right at the moment. So let's clear the decks, as it were, and we'll come back in just a couple of moments. You dealing with your questions to Charlie Dobbin, our master gardener here on Zoomer Radio. Back in just a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And at 9:15, let's check in with the callers this morning. Well, first out of the bat, we've got a first-time caller.
Excellent.
From Orangeville. Hey, Jean, that's for you. Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I have inherited recently a very badly neglected Christmas cactus.
Uh-huh.
Soil's very dry, the plant's limp, and it's shrunk away from from the inside of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it able to be saved?
Well, if it's, have you watered it at all since you inherited?
I got this about two weeks ago. I've given it a little bit of water twice now, and I've actually added some cactus soil around the outside part of it.
Okay.
Now, what else can I do?
Okay, so when you watered it, did it stop being so limp? Did it get more firm? The actual leaves?
No.
No. So it's kind of droopy then. Is it wrinkly? Do you see wrinkles, or it's just soft, the leaves?
It's almost both.
Okay. And if you felt the soil right now, would it feel very dry?
Oh, I didn't check it this morning, but usually I water these plants on, but every Sunday is my routine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine it's probably dry now, yes.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because plants look limp for two completely opposite reasons. One is they're very dry,
right?
And they have lost what we call turgidity. So they've got no liquid and they just get soft and limp.
Okay.
The other reason that plants can look soft and limp or get all sort of weepy is because they've been overwatered. Their roots have been damaged to the point of no longer being able to absorb moisture. So they've actually rotted. And the plant, again, loses turgidity and gets all limp.
I like that word.
Yeah, I thought you would like that. So, so bottom line is, my impulse would be feel the soil. Get your fingers, really feel the soil. If it's feeling dry, I would give it a very thorough watering. Water it enough that the soil is thoroughly saturated. So that will take some time because, as you point out, the soil has shrunk. It's so dry. It shrunk away from the pot, and the tendency is for the water to just run right through.
It did.
So you get a little fork. You kind of move that root ball around a little bit. Some of that soil, it's all kind of caked together, and it's, you know, kind of hard. Break that up a bit. You've added some fresh soil, so that's fine. That'll kind of work its way down as well. Water thoroughly. Of course, do not let the plant sit in water beyond about 10 minutes or so. Like the saucer below sit, you know, be full of water for a good 10 minutes. By that time, it'll be absorbed into the soil. Dump the saucer, let the whole thing drain down. Full sun, sunniest window that you've got, and just let it be and see what happens. It will either bounce back and come back and looking, you know, shiny and green as it should be, or it will continue to be that gray-green color with the soft limp, and that indicates that the roots are no longer viable, and then your only hope of success is to break off a few of those the branches, little chunks of stem, and you can actually just pop some of those into some fresh cactus soil and regrow the plant from some of those segments, those leaf segments.
You think it still will do that even though it's quite limp?
Yep. They'll still grow, yep. Yeah, as long, again, you'll make sure you put those little segments into some moist soil, but you won't keep it soggy. It's going to be one of those things of keeping an eye. You want some dampness in that soil. You want lots of sun on the, those pots, and you want the plant that to dry between waterings.
Okay, sounds good.
That's always the trick with cactuses. Well, you know, think of the like the desert. We do get like monsoon rains in the desert, but then we have complete drought after that. So it's most cactuses are quite well evolved to handle those extremes of super wet and then super dry. Of course, Christmas cactus is actually a forest cactus, but nevertheless, they're fine to dry right between to dry down between waterings.
Well, good luck with that, Gene.
Thanks for calling.
All righty. There we are. And we'll go to another line here. And there is Zoe, just around the corner here in Toronto. Hi, Zoe. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a lovely plant that I brought in from the balcony during the summer. It was just lush, beautiful-looking, viney. I think it was a Wandering Jew. It's just beautiful. I brought it in, and it's huge. It was about 10 inches in diameter. I've got about 3 strands left. Oh. And initially, it looked kind of healthy, but when I looked closer, the tops looked fine. But then the stems to the earth were all dried out, and it's been a month. I've got only about 2-3 strands left.
So when you said you think it's a Wandering Jew, is it like a purple and silver leafed plant?
Yes.
Right. So, and it is, like you say, it's a vining plant. So multi-long stems, should
beautiful.
Be leaves all
lush
along the stems.
Was.
So out on your balcony, was it getting direct sunlight?
No.
Okay. And so where do you have it now? Have you got it in a place where it's getting some bright light?
No, it doesn't have bright light. Because there's heat coming by the window. Uh-huh. So I put it a little bit away from there, sort of.
Okay.
So I just want to know.
Well, it does like brightness. That is one thing. Is it hanging or have you got it in a plant stand?
I've got it on the floor.
Okay. What I would do is get it up on a table so that it or a plant stand so that the pot is on a level surface and the vining stems are allowed to trail over. Now, the soil, you're going to have to look closely, make sure, just double check. There's no insects, no evidence of any insects whatsoever. Otherwise, they're not difficult to care for, which is what makes me think it could have some kind of an infestation potentially. But it does want some light, and similar to the Christmas cactus we were just talking about, water thoroughly when you water, let it dry down almost completely between waterings. So feel the soil before you water. Do not keep it constantly moist or it will suffer and die.
So, but somebody told me I could snip some and start up again. Is that correct?
Yeah, they will. They're very, so there's the stems and where each leaf comes from is called a node. And at that point is where roots can also come from. So if you were going to snip some stems, you need to ensure that you've got a couple of those little bumps on the stems, just even in a glass of water on the window ledge. And of course, there's got to be some leaves on that stem in order for photosynthesis to take place. But then you've got little roots will grow from the little bumps on the stem. Once you've got some roots into the pot with some good potting soil. And like I say, a bright spot is good. If you can, you said it's really warm by the window. Have you got like baseboard kind of heater?
Yeah.
Because I'm just wondering if there's any way to deflect the heat away or at least just.
Well, sometimes those plastic little.
The vent things work if you've got the forced air vents. Yeah. But in an apartment, you often maybe don't have that. You have more wall heat and that sort of thing. So, I wonder, or even maybe you could hang the plant in the window. So they'd be, in the window, but certainly far enough away from the heat. Because you're right, no plant wants that hot air being blown on it either. But yeah, more light is better. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Zoe, very much. And thanks to all our callers. And by the way, we have another first-time caller anxious to get to you. And we will get there, Sue. Hold on. Okay. Meantime, I'm going to take a little bit of a break here at 9:23.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Franklin Proctor, here saying hello to Sue in Hamilton. There you go, Sue. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie. I have brought in an agapanthus from the garden, and I'm wondering what I do with it over the winter to keep it alive.
Okay, so it is a bulb. So you have two options. You can put it in lots of sun, keep it growing, don't allow it to go dormant, but be very, very careful to not overwater. Bulbs are super easy to overwater because they've got that storage organ under the soil. You do not want to keep that soil constantly moist, otherwise you'll cause the roots to just rot right away.
So like every other week?
Well, it depends on what temperature it is and how much light it's in and how much soil is in the pot. But use your fingers, feel the soil. When it starts to really feel like it's drying down, water again. Okay. Or you can allow it to go dormant just by cutting off the water to it. Up to you which kind of works for you. But it should be in a bright sunny spot if you're continuing to keep it growing, or if you're going to stop watering it and let it go dormant, then you can put it into far less light and just let it go to sleep for 2-3 months.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, door's always open now, Sue.
That
first initial step through over the threshold. Well, there's Margaret in Cambridge. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the show. Hello, Margaret.
Good morning.
Okay, I've got some bulbs in the ground. No, actually, I took them out, and they're dry now. But I don't have a cool cellar or a cool place to leave them. Last year, I put them in a huge bag of dry leaves, and the bulbs rotted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want leaves. So what kind of bulbs are they?
The gladiolus.
Oh,
and there's another kind. Would I be able to leave those bulbs in the ground over the winter?
They will not survive outside.
They won't?
No. But glads are one of the easiest bulbs to overwinter because they don't require any kind of special anything. Once you've got them out of the ground and they've dried down and you've cleaned them up, the soil is dry and you sort of brush it off gently.
I've done that already.
Right. So you've got an old onion bag or an old pair of pantyhose. You drop the corms of the glads into that net bag of whatever kind it is. Hang it up somewhere. It doesn't have to be a cold cellar, but it should be a dark spot. Mm-hmm. And preferably a cool spot, but not below zero cool.
No.
So if you it's all warm everywhere, perhaps you could just hang them like in a closet somewhere it's dark.
Oh,
that will keep them dormant. That's what you do with glads. The other bulb you have, I'm not sure. The things like dahlias or canna lilies or callas, any of those, they do need to be kept again in the dark. But typically we'll put them into peat moss or sterile potting soil, something like that, because they need to be in the dark but also surrounded by slightly moist medium like peat moss.
Actually, they're the ones that rotted last year. It's those kinds of bulbs. This is the first time I have the gladiolus.
Okay. Well, give the glads a try. Like I said, just in a bag. They need good air circulation.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Margaret.
Yeah. Let me repeat the phone numbers. There are a lot of callers from outside the area today of Toronto.
Yeah.
We got Orangeville, Hamilton, Cambridge. Going to be checking into Peterborough in a little bit here. But here are the numbers, okay? In Toronto area, call 416-360-0740. And then if you are out of town, call no charge whatsoever, 1-866-740-4740. And on we go to Oakville and say hi to Fran. Good morning, Fran. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. I have a miniature orchid, and the flowers gone and the stalks dried up, and I cut it off, right?
Yep.
Now, when do I fertilize? The leaves are nice and green.
Nice. The thing about orchids is they can bloom year-round. Hmm. So they don't really have a downtime, though obviously with the lower light levels now, they are not growing as rapidly or as quickly as they do in the real growing season, like the spring.
Yeah.
What I would do is get a hold of some proper orchid fertilizer, for starters.
Yep.
Follow the instructions on the fertilizer. It'll tell you what mix rate, water versus fertilizer, to mix it up. But what I would do at this time of year is I would double the water or half the fertilizer. So it's going to be a weak solution of fertilizer. And next time it's time to water, water the plant with that weak solution of fertilizer and continue to do that. You can, do that every, 2 weeks or so, fertilize right through when we get into late February, March. Days are getting longer, all the plants start to get much more excited and get growing. And at that point, then you would use your fertilizer mix as per the directions on the package.
No, it's in a very tiny pot.
Uh-huh.
Should I take it out? I tried repotting other ones and they died.
Yeah, okay.
You know, to put it in that orchid mix, the bark mix.
Yeah.
But it's in a sort of a, I don't know.
Yeah, they put it in like a mossy sort
of
a.
Some morning, should I just leave it in the little pot?
Well, you'd be amazed. For now, I would leave it in the little pot because now is not an optimal time to transplant anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind that most orchids that we grow in our homes are the same orchids that very naturally just grow in up in the treetops. I mean, they don't need big pots. Their roots are not designed to go underground. They don't even know what soil is. So if it's in a pot that's too small, all that will happen is you'll have more what we call aerial roots, so roots that are on the surface.
Yeah, there's one coming out now.
Yep, and that's perfectly normal and natural, and you want to let that happen. And actually, with a little plant like that, and it's really tight in that tiny pot, it's absolutely perfect for fertilizing by dunking the whole plant, the leaves, the pot, everything, right into a pail with that fertilizer or just plain water for watering purposes. Just dunk the whole thing right under the water. Air bubbles will come out. Let the air bubbles come out until they stop. Then just pull the plant out of the water, let it drain in the sink, and then back into your northern or eastern window. So it's in that pot like that, it makes it super easy for watering. And it's particularly when it's little like that, you don't need a very big pail to put it into. But in this time when the days are short and the atmosphere is dry, as it's cool outside, you know, our relative humidity goes way down, and the orchids love getting dunked into water just to raise that humidity.
Now, how dry should I wait for the medium to get?
Well, when it's very light to your touch, I mean, don't keep it constantly wet. It's got to have air pockets in that little pot on occasion as well. Mm-hmm. So hard to say, but you know, with a tiny little pot like that, it's probably your weekly needing to dunk it in water.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Fran.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for
calling. Already 9:33 here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. And, oh, goodness gracious, look at this. Get my Salvation. Actually, this is a Salvation Army little bell.
You know,
I just realized
get
it.
Get a job in between the radio garden shows. You could be out.
I just donated.
Money.
I was at the liquor store the other day.
Oh, really?
There was one of the gentlemen at the thing, and I popped a tune in there.
He said, hey, bro, I got a bell
like that. Exactly. Well, that's for Diane in Peterborough. Hi, Diane.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know, I had a big, huge peace lily. Mm-hmm. It was given to me 5 years ago when my husband died. It was out in full bloom, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. It's done nothing since then, so I recently split it into four separate plants and repotted them. What do I do now?
Well, find three friends to give three away to for a Christmas present, so then you only have to deal with one. The thing about peace lilies is that they can grow just about anywhere in your house. They can grow in the, you know, low light and high light and, you know, all different places. If they get absolutely no light at all, though, they rarely flower. So you do, if you can have it in a southern or western window, then you will get the odd, you know, white spath, which is the flower. The trick is to use water that has been sitting out for a period of time. The fluoride and the salts and the chlorine, et cetera, in the water is something that peace lilies do not like. And you'll get the whole tip browning on the leaves. The tips of the leaves will get all brown and they start to curl and turn black. And, you know, you do trim them away eventually if they go completely brown. But that is a response to additives in the water. So, of course, rainwater is always the best. It's got no additives at all. And you know, just kind of leave it alone for now. If you don't have any flowers now, don't be surprised. But come spring, of course, that's if you get into some consistent fertilizing, you will find a whole bunch of flowers will start to form.
Okay. Now, so I don't need to fertilize it until the spring?
That's right. Right now, with the shorter days, even though our plants are indoors in our heated homes, they still know it's winter and they still are, you know, moving slowly. And as a result of that, you can do more damage than good by fertilizing now. Typically, we fertilize when plants are actively growing, and at this time, there's not a lot of active growth.
Yeah, you're killing them with kindness.
And it won't be long, actually. Like, think about it. It's like 2 weeks from now, and then we're back into the days getting longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are just getting down to that shortest day. So if we can just get past December 21st, days will start getting longer, plants will respond, and fertilizer will be very appropriate.
Okay, I do have some Miracle-Gro in the powdered form.
Fine, perfect, yep. Just make sure you mix.
I think it's a 24-8-16.
Yep, perfect. Very good. Very good, but mix according to directions. Too much fertilizer is not a good thing.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful Christmas, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call.
And a very Merry Christmas to you and yours,
and
too.
Don't be a stranger.
And if you know, if your family includes particularly young kids, on Christmas Eve, we're going to be playing the Day the Welland Canal Monster Met Santa.
Oh, really?
I haven't got the time yet, but I'll find that up for next week.
So you're going to do it live or tape it?
No, it's actually recorded because there are all sorts of sound effects that go along with
it. Oh, sweet.
And I do all the voices.
Frank's a published author, just in case those of you listening didn't know that.
And Frank
not only wrote the book, but he obviously reads the book on air and sells the book for people want a copy.
You can actually just get a hold of me if you'd like to find out more about the book.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your
have
email
autographed
address?
Copy for your kids, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go to f.proctor@mzmedia.com.
Okay? There you go.
There you are. Well, thank you for the look like there.
And we are here on Christmas Eve. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking gardening on Christmas Eve. So, you know, don't be busy wrapping presents. Keep thinking about the gardens.
You got it. Here comes the phone numbers again, 1-866-740-4740. That's our long-distance line, totally free, toll-free. And in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And here comes the bell. That's for Andrew in Guelph. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great.
Excellent. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a mandevilla that I brought in for the winter, and it's about 4.5 feet tall. It's lost most of its flowers, which is probably acceptable. But I'd like to know how to keep it for the winter so I can bring it out next summer.
Have you got a good sunny window or a big patio doors or something?
It's in a partially sunny area. But the thing that's what it's really producing now is these long shooters. They're almost about 2 feet long. I guess they're looking for sun. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with those. But
it would do that anyway. When you bring it in, that's its natural response. Insufficient light for flowers, excuse me, but it is a vine, so it is sending out, you know, big long tendrils, and that's perfectly normal. What I would do is I would get out my pruners, and I mean, assuming you don't want the plant taking over the room it's in, I would cut it back. But don't cut so hard that you shock the plant. Don't take off more than one third of the plant at this time. But you're going to have to cut it sooner or later before you take it outside. And typically, like, they'll do what it's doing, which is like, you know, big long tendrils that'll be, you know, climbing into the kitchen and, you know, into the fridge before you know it. So the idea is do some trimming, keep it in as bright a spot as you can. Let it to dry between waterings, water thoroughly when you do water, and then come March, mid-March, really study the plant in terms of its structure at that point, because you're going to do your sort of hopefully final pruning then to have it ready to go outside in perfect shape and form to get into that, you know, bright sun outside and bust out with flowers, because, of course, you don't want to start trimming it once it's got full of flowers.
Right. Okay.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
And don't be a stranger. Yeah, first
time
caller.
Exactly.
How about that? We're going to take just a little bit of a break right now, 9:39, or actually 9:40, but what's a minute between friends, right? 9:40 here on Zoomer Radio AM 740. A quick review of those phone numbers, 416-360-0740 here in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be long to say hi to Marie and Hamilton in just moments from now on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Frank Proctor here, sous chef of The Garden, saying what a delight it is to share this beautiful Saturday morning with our listeners.
And look, I want to share something with you.
Yeah.
I received in the mail from Margaret Bennett Alder, thank you, Margaret, if you're listening, the latest copy of the Toronto Gardener's Journal and sourcebook. 25 years, Margaret and her family have been putting this source book and journal together. It's not just for Toronto residents. It's for anybody really in Southern Ontario, because it's designed as a journal, something that you can keep track of things that are going on in your garden. It has weekly tips of things you should be doing in your garden. It also has wonderful source information so that every website, every magazine, every radio show.
Yeah. And your show is top.
That's right. Hort Societies. She's got, you know, just pages and pages of tiny print of suggested sources for horticultural information, some great photographs, just a really really great way to organize you. Garden plans, records, photos, delights and disappointments. Mm-hmm. All these things can be organized in the little tabs that are in here. And, you know, congratulations to Margaret. I mean, this book was started as a retirement hobby.
That's right. 25 years ago.
25
right?
years yeah. ago. She is now turning 90 years old and still putting this book out. So,
God bless her.
God bless her, because it's just a lovely, very, very useful book. And I highly recommend it. It is available for sale at various outlets like Book City stores, Sheridan Garden Centers, Royal Botanical Garden, Toronto Botanical Garden, Fiesta Gardens, Plant World, and of course, the website torontogardenbook.com.
Okay, the name of the book again, The Toronto Gardener's Journal. Look for it. You'll not regret buying that.
No, it's great.
Great gift to get for somebody.
That's right. Really good gift for gardeners.
Well, we better get on to our callers again here. And in Hamilton, there is Marie patiently waiting. Hi, Marie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Number one, I'm not a gardener. My green thumb's red. But I have a tree in the home that I bought 10 years ago. To me, it's a twig, but it has little red berries on it that the birds eat. Uh-huh. Somehow, the bees have managed to build a humongous bee's nest on one of the branches, and I've been told, leave it alone, they're hibernating, and other people have told me, knock it down. Now I don't know what to do with it. Now that the leaves are gone, all you see is this humongous bee's nest.
Okay, so is it a bee's nest or a wasp nest?
No, I lived in the country for 40 years. I know the difference. This is definitely a bee's nest. My neighbor hit the trunk of the tree and scared them, and they swarmed them, and they were definitely bees because of all the flowers I had in the front of my grass. Huh.
Okay, so you know what? It's a great question. If it was really bees, okay, and you live in Hamilton,
yeah.
there are bee people, and I'm just going to look them up on the web here. So I
don't have a computer. So
no,
I'm
going to tell you.
Number, I don't know what to do.
I'm going to give you a phone number because
okay.
There are. If it's truly, you know, we are trying to protect the bees.
Well, that was my understanding.
Yeah. So if it's a live nest and they are hibernating, then the people that are the bee people will know exactly what to do.
Because I called the Royal Botanical Gardens, and they told me to call University of Guelph.
Oh, really?
Huh. So I just figured they would know.
I don't know who at the University of
Guelph. Wrong again.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, because, I mean, wasp nests are empty in the winter. They build a new one every spring, right? So,
right. Now, I did see a small little bird trying to get something out of the bottom of this nest. So I'm assuming it's honey.
Yeah, I would think, but I don't. Yeah, hard to say.
I wouldn't go near an empty hornet's nest, or am I wrong?
Well, an empty hornet's nest is just like paper. It's
yeah,
nothing
had a
going
birds
on.
In the back.
Yeah, I mean, unless that little bird is building a nest itself, and they might use some of that paper product that the wasps make to make their nests with. But it is empty. Like the queen just goes to ground for the winter. Workers all die off, and the whole thing starts again next spring. So, but if it's bees, then it's something else again. So leave that with me before we go off the air. I will come up with a phone number because, like I say, there are bee collectives, and maybe somebody who's listening can even give us a call to just confirm who Marie could get in touch with to sort out what to do.
Good question, though. Gee
but
whiz,
yeah, great question.
We want to preserve as many bees as we can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right. So thank you, and I'll just follow up on that.
We'll do that for sure. Jenny in St. Catharines, nice to have you with us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Actually, it's Jenny from Merritt and Frank.
Oh, Merritt. Oh, well, I know how important that is.
Okay, I got a Hoya, Charlie, and it was given to me a while back. Son of a gun, it's never bloomed.
Uh-huh.
I wiped it all down, and, you know, it's beautiful. It's green. I got 2-foot-long tendrils on it, and nothing.
Lots and lots and lots of sun.
Yeah.
Have you got that? Have you got like a southern window or a western window?
I don't even know which way I'm pointing, but because I've got a little one that somebody gave me. It's in a glass of water. Now, can I put that in with the other one and say put it? Somebody told me I shouldn't transplant. They like to be pot bound.
They do. They do like to be pot bound. So the smaller the pot, excuse me, the better.
Oh, okay.
And sorry, I'm just choking there. The smaller the pot, the better, and allowing that plant to dry to complete dryness between waterings is important. So you're going to stress the plant by just keep feeling that soil. As long as you can feel moisture in the soil, do not water. It might be a month between waterings, so it is. As much sun as possible.
I've been trying to get this poor baby to bloom, and I thought my mother-in-law had one. It was gorgeous. I can't do a darn thing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, sometimes we love them too much. We water too much, and then it doesn't flower. So
it was in the back bedroom. I forgot it was there when I brought it out. It was covered in dust. I had to all down.
Amazing what they'll survive, right? Yeah.
But, oh, I know.
Yeah. So that's fine. So it's all clean, which is great, but just don't be careful about overwatering, and you will find, and again, start considering a flowering plant fertilizer. Very consistently use that when watering, but start that in February or March, and you should have flowers. As long as you can keep it in lots of sun, it'll be fine.
Okay, that's good. Okay, oh, I guess we've lost Jenny, but thank you for the phone call, and hopefully that will help in that advice column there. 9:50 mm-hmm. on a Saturday morning here at Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And at this very moment, Charlie is madly scrambling through the internet here for the proper bee person helping hand.
Keep our listeners busy.
All righty. Well, you scroll down those pages looking for...
here's a couple of suggestions. Okay. And this is from Marie, who called from Hamilton about what she thinks might be a bee's nest with live bees in it hanging in her tree outside on her property. So the Toronto District Beekeepers Association does have a contact named Paul or James. Both of them are co-presidents of the Toronto District Beekeepers Association. They can be reached at the following phone number, 416-846-5105. So that's 416-846-5105. And if Brantford is pretty close to Hamilton... Where'd it go?
There it is.
Brantford, yep. Golden Horseshoe, Grand River. No, it's Branchton. Where's Brantford?
Brantford.
Golden Horseshoe Beekeepers Association. So that might even be better for you. Golden Horseshoe Beekeepers Association. The contact is Al Goodfellow. He's the president. And his phone number is 905-531-0350. So 905-531-0350, and that's Al Goodfellow. And what I've done is I have Googled and come up with the Ontario Beekeepers Association, and I'm looking at local beekeepers associations in the various communities. So there's a lot going on with the beekeepers, and for sure, follow up. Don't just assume that's a dead or should be destroyed kind of situation. I don't know enough to be able to tell you what to do, but for sure one of those people will.
good stuff. Okay.
Thanks.
Karen in Mississauga. There's the bell. Welcome to the Garden Show. First time caller.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Welcome.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I brought a geranium in early October, and it was flowering, and I deadheaded it, and it flowered a few times, and then I cut it back completely. I don't know how to keep it over the winter.
Have you got a sunny window?
Yes, I do.
Oh, so there you are. Well, what I would do is it in the window?
It's close to the window. There's other flowers and plants vying sunny window.
Yeah, so you didn't actually have to cut it back, but if it might have been big and ungainly, it's still got green stems, I assume, and some green leaves on it now, or?
It does, but it also has a lot of drying leaves, and I'm wondering why.
Oh, because the light levels inside your house are far lower than they were outside.
Okay.
Just even if you had it in a southern, window, it just by virtue of having that glass in between the outdoors and the indoors, the light levels drop dramatically. And those leaves that are turning yellow grew outside and they grew at the light levels, that they were receiving outside. Mm-hmm. So those yellow leaves, perfectly normal. As they yellow, just remove them. Don't let them sit in, you know, in the pot, because they'll just rot and cause, you know, mildew and fungal diseases. So just continue to keep the plant clean. New green growth will grow. Keep it in the sun. Turn it. Remember to turn it every week or so, so that it's balanced growth. Mm-hmm. And you know, before you know it, it's going to start forming flowers again.
Oh, so it will flower over the winter?
It should, if it gets enough light. Be very careful about watering. It's very easy to overwater in the winter, because plants use a lot less water in the winter than they do in the summer.
Okay, so like
feel that soil.
2 weeks or so?
Well, it's hard to know how often, but when you do water, water thoroughly. Just let it dry, almost completely dry between waterings. Geraniums are very drought-tolerant plants. Like they can, the soil can be virtually completely dry between waterings. So, you know, it might be once a month. You know, hard to know how often you're going to water. Frankly, I brought a geranium in my house probably same thing, probably early October. I think I've watered it once since I brought it in.
All right.
So, you know, that's what, 2 months? I've watered it once. So, you know, I always err on the side of underwatering rather than overwatering.
Okay.
And plants, they are neglected by me, no question, but they never die from overwatering.
Somebody else told me that you can actually put it to rest in the basement and then bring it out in the summer. So that's why I was confused about actually what to do.
Well, you can, except you need the kind of basement where it can be dormant and still alive. So that kind of a basement is dark and it's cool and it's got some humidity to it.
Which most basements these days
are not. Mine's warm and heated and dry, and the furnace is down there, and it's so I don't even try to make plants go semi or completely dormant in my house, because I don't have that root cellar kind of situation. But if you do, then absolutely, yes, you can stick the geranium in there and ignore it for the rest of the winter, but you do need that root cellar kind of situation. All right?
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very
for
much.
Your call.
I don't think we have time really to a quick hello to Rick up in White River.
Oh, hey, yeah.
We gotta check in. Hi, Rick. Nice to have the call.
How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. How much snow you got?
Oh, there's ice on the lake. There's a couple inches of snow on the ground.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
And I got my toque on.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Man.
Well, the sky's blue here, and we had a little dusting of snow last night.
We've got less than a minute, Rick.
Listen,
so
I had some pansies that I was going to collect the seeds off of, but the seeds were gone, and I noticed all beneath the mother plants, there's all these little green things growing.
Oh, yeah.
So will they winter over if I leave them outside in the pots or what?
In the pots above ground, they probably won't survive. If you could bury those pots, if your ground's not frozen, they might survive, and pile a bunch of leaves on top, because your winters are just that much more extreme than ours. Here in southern Ontario, pansies will often survive the winter, but it's got to be in the ground, not above. That's my best suggestion. But hey, good to hear from Rick.
Yeah, nice to have you on board again.
He's a consistent listener, and he does check in with us every now and then. Frank, what's going on? What are you doing?
Well, the first thing I got to do is give a check to Alan Gelman.
Oh, my goodness.
Glenn Allen Motors did some wonderful work on my car.
So, nice.
I owe him.
Yeah.
And I'm paying up.
Wonderful people.
And I'm back
those at Glenn
one
Allen
o'clock.
Motors
yeah.
people. And you're back yeah. at one. You're not going anywhere.
Nope.
Other than with me for breakfast.
Exactly.
You could come help me plant.
You pay today. Yes.
Yeah, we're somehow hungry we are because I'm paying. No, you're getting water and toast, I think.
Oh, gee.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Charlie.
Lots of fun doing the show. Thank you, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without you or the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.